Sunday service, which also is going to serve as a memorial service for our sister in Christ who has fallen asleep this past Tuesday, Marlene Ida Lapierre. Now, when putting the service together, one wonders what lessons and what hymns to choose, because her death was so sudden we never did get a chance to speak about that. Now I thought, well, why not just use the lessons and hymns she chose for her husband Richard back in 2010? So for the most part, that's what I've done. Everything, all of the hymns and the readings are in our worship bulletin. We begin our service then with the singing of Blessed Assurance. At the conclusion, after the last refrain, we stand for the invocation and the call.
Thank you.
and will now speak Psalm 90, 1 to 12, responsibly with the congregation, speaking those sentences in boldface print. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Forever thou hast formed the earth and the world. Thou turnest man to destruction. For a thousand years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. For we are consumed by thine anger. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee. For all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. The days of our years are 80. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? So teach us to number our days. Now join our hearts and voices and speak and singing the first two stanzas of I Know That My Redeemer Lives.
Oh,
15th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, part of the great resurrection chapter of the New Testament. The apostle writes, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, your faith is in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. We have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to God and the Father, and when he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death, for he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he has accepted who put all things in subjection to him. If all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all." So far, the second lesson. We continue with singing two more stanzas of "I Know That My Redeemer Lives."
Sitting on the
other stanzas of I Know That My Redeemer Lives.
Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied unto you. We hear a portion of Psalm 90, which was read earlier. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So far the text, let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, I don't have any electronic devices to keep track of the days or months or appointments or anything like that. I don't think we're Luddites, but we just haven't gotten around to getting cell phones or other, 20 or 21st century innovations. As a matter of fact, what I do have is a day timer that kind of tells me what day it is. For example, if I would look down, I would see today is January the 8th, and then it would say that I have 357 days left in the year. Now, do any of us think what Moses meant when he asked God to teach him to number our days was that he would say, oh, I've got 357 days left. I better number all of those days before you get to December 31st. Well, the answer probably is no. As a matter of fact, when Luther translated this verse for his Bible, he didn't think so either. As a matter of fact, he poetically paraphrased it in the following way, which gives it a little bit, it focuses really on what Moses meant. Luther said, "Teach us to know that we have to die so that we might become wise." So it's never a question of if we have to die, but it's a question of when. When Daryl phoned us during our Bible study on this past Tuesday afternoon and gave us the shocking news that Marlene had fallen asleep in Jesus, I immediately thought of these words of Psalm 90. Not only that we would have a wise heart, but that we would know how to number our days and know that our days on this earth come to an end, but our days with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can continue forever. And that brings me to this morning's sermon topic, counting our days to make our days count. And I'll develop that in three parts. First, God measures to eternity. Secondly, and thirdly, make the days count. Now, the title of this psalm identifies it not as a psalm, but it's a prayer. And the title also identifies Moses as the author of this prayer. And the sweep of Psalm 90 is pretty broad. And at first glance, we may wonder that if God is measuring time from eternity to eternity, do any of us frail human beings have a place within his framework of time? Of course, the scriptures answer that question. The answer is yes. I don't want to leave anybody hanging here. And Moses begins by stating that in all generations, God has been our dwelling place. This also might be translated that God is our refuge. Either translation is correct. Indeed, for the believer, God's dwelling place is nothing less than a refuge. As a matter of fact, Psalm 71 declares of the Lord, "Be thou to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come, for thou hast given me commandments to save me. Thou art my rock and my fortress." And when we read in the Old Testament, we must always remember when it speaks of God or the Lord, some kind of generic spiritual being to whom people of whatever spiritual persuasion may turn. He is the God who told Moses at the burning bush, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." He is the God of history and does exist from everlasting to everlasting or from eternity to eternity. As a matter of fact, he is the God who created history itself. He created history when he created the world and created our first parents, Adam and Eve. And he is also the one who promised to redeem history after they had fallen into sin and brought the curse of death upon the entire world. As a matter of fact, all of Psalm 91 can be seen as a commentary on their fall and God's promise to send the Redeemer who would buy back this fallen creature with his false hopes and real fears. And of course, in the life of the church, we just celebrated the birthday of that Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. He came out of eternity to take on, to live and die in time, so that he might redeem Elaine and all other believers who otherwise would have died to eternity. And thus, Moses would ask God and ask us to count our days. You know, up until this last year, when for reasons of health, Marlene couldn't host the Bible study in her home in Stockton on the last Tuesday of the month, usually in the month of December, we held our Bible study at Marlene's house. And at the end of the Bible study, she always brought out this stack of about 24 calendars that she had gotten from all of these charities, from veterans groups, from animal groups, you name it. And she, there are more calendars here than I could ever use. Please, somebody take some. I mean, some of them have nice pictures. You can use them for that, if nothing else. Now, most calendars are blank. That is to say, they're squares for the days that make up the days, the weeks, the month, and finally the year. And we don't know, for the most part, what will fill each of those blanks as the year progresses. For example, even though Moses lived until he was 120 years of age, he knew that that was extraordinary. Most people, the lifespan is measured by 70 years or perhaps 80 years by strength. And thus Marlene had filled up 84 calendar years over the course of her life. And she had indeed been blessed to reach that goal of 80 years. But Moses goes on to say that life as such is labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Well, what does that mean? It sounds a bit depressing at first glance, and As a matter of fact, it's depressing even at second glance, because it means our lives are colored or tainted by sin. And it colors all that we do, all of our days. But even more than that, it shortens our days, because the wage of death, sin, is death. And the lives of all of us are lived under the shadow of sin and death, and represent the sin that dwells within each of us that we have inherited from our first parents, as well as those sins which we have committed in thought, word, or deed, or those which we've omitted. Before God, our iniquities condemn us, both the sins of which we are aware, as well as our secret sins. As a matter of fact, Psalm 80 says, "Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who would stand?" And the answer, of course, is no one. And on this, in Psalm 90, Moses says, "Lord, you turn man to destruction." Now that word destruction elsewhere might be translated as dust, but here it more properly means crushed or pulverized. And in other places, especially in the book of the prophet Isaiah, it refers to those who are uncontrite, those who mourn. To God, that we can make our days. Elizabeth and I saw our services in Stockton on the 18th of December. And she told us that Wednesday she had tried to get out of bed and had fallen. And she was able to drag herself over and call the ambulance people, and they took her to hospital, and she underwent tests and everything else, and she had to stay in the hallway. But at the end of the day, they sent her home with some instructions of how to be more careful and don't fall. But she asked us then also to come over and to commune her so that she might confess her sins, receive absolution, and receive the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. And days which count before God are days in which we live in the forgiveness which Christ has won for us. And the wise heart then, Moses speaks about the wise heart, the wise heart then is the forgiven heart. It is the new heart given to us in our baptism by the Holy Spirit. It is the heart which is renewed as we hear God's word. It is the heart which clings to Jesus and his merits and sees that what we receive from God is a gift on account of what Jesus has done for us, and doesn't depend on what we have done, nor could we in any way have earned it. It is the heart that is anchored in Jesus so that every morning we may begin a new day with his forgiveness. Days which count are days in which we are forgiven. And in Jesus, in God has turned to us so that in his Son we may find life in the place of death. And God has turned to us in Jesus so that we may find meaning in the place of meaninglessness. And then we can also find forgiveness in the place of condemnation. In Jesus we receive the hope of life in the place of the fear of death. In Jesus we have the promise of eternity, regardless of how long or how short our days on this earth may be. Marlene, her journey by being baptized into the death of in November of 1932 in Unalaska, she affirmed that faith at her confirmation, and throughout her life she remained in that faith. And that faith sustained her through her life. It sustained her through her years working at Bell. It sustained her through 55 years of marriage. And it also, the last year and a half of that marriage, Richard had fallen ill from complications after surgery and basically saw his life gradually diminish. The last time Arlene was able to come to church was at the beginning of November, when we took the picture that you see on the back of the bulletin, and the picture is also taken with three other members in our Stockton congregation who shared October birthdays. Over the past year, her balance became extremely unsteady, and she finally got over her stubbornness, that's in a good sense, and finally began using a cane, because she didn't want to be seen with a cane in public. But she got over her stubbornness and began using a cane. As a matter of fact, I checked, and the only time she wasn't able to make it to church was in December and August of the past year. And then on those occasions, Elizabeth and I would go and try to visit her. But regardless of whether she was with us or not in worship, she was always with the Lord in the private worship of her home, clinging to the scriptures, hearing God's word, reading those words, and following the devotional material that we handed out. And an increasingly frail body, she nurtured a strong faith as she fed on God's word, and by this means kept her heart wise unto God. As we thank God for Marlene's life and the gift of faith that he gave her and sustained her, we realize that our lives on this earth, as her life on this earth, was and are limited. If we try to make our days count on this earth apart from Jesus, our counting will always fall short on account of sin, sin which pays out its wage in death and colors all of life with a sense of futility in earthly time. None of us knows how many days on this earth our Lord is going to grant us. But we all know that in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, regardless of our span of life on this earth, our lives have no limit in Him. And we thank God from eternity to eternity, God has broken out of Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Now, I realize this is a memorial service, but it is also our Sunday service, so we will receive the offering and then read the obituary. cup thine own, whatever the gift may be, all that we have is thine, O Lord, the trust of God from thee. Amen. We now read the obituary, and I thank Marlene's nephew, Paul, for preparing this. Marlene Ida Nay Krasick Lapierre passed away peacefully at her home on January 3, 2017. Marlene was born October 15, 1932 in Onalaska, Wisconsin, to Harry and Edna Nay Stellner Krasick. She was baptized into the Christian faith on November 13, 1932 by Pastor Walter Pastian, as witnessed by Edna Stellner and Emil Krasick. As a teenager, she was also later confirmed in St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Onalaska, Wisconsin. Marlene attended Sand Lake Grade School and Onalaska High School. Upon graduation, she worked for grocery store owner Rudy Prowlett. In June 1955, she was married at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Onalaska, Wisconsin, to Richard Lapierre, who was in the Marines. The young couple moved to California, where Richard was stationed. For much of her adult life, Marlene worked for the Bell Telephone Company. She and Richard enjoyed their yacht and fishing. Survivors include her two brothers, Herbert Ivadel Krause of Holman, Wisconsin, and Gordon Rhoda Krause of Watertown, South Dakota. Her sister, Lois Richard Babich of Fountain Valley, California, as well as other relatives and friends. Her husband, Richard, preceded her in death in September 2010. Marlene was living at home at the time of her death. A service in her memory is conducted in connection with the January 8, 2017 Sunday morning service at 9 o'clock by Pastor Stephen Clark of St. Stephen Lutheran Church, which is held at Grace Lutheran Church, 1836 B Street. Memorials may be directed to St. Stephen Lutheran Church to be used as they see fit. So far, the reading of the obituary. We will now rise for the prayers. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you admit your chosen people into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace, Lord, and your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy, give to the family of Marlene and all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care that, casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy, give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of assured holy hope and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy, help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you that you have given Marlene a long life of grace, and pray that you would grant that we too may die in peace and receive the crown of everlasting glory. Lord, in your mercy, receive our thanks for Marlene and for all the blessings you bestowed upon her in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with her we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither sin nor death, nor life nor things present, nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever, and who has taught us to trust his promises and pray,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Please be seated and join our hearts and voices in singing To Sleep in Jesus.
Thank you.
those were some of the two because that was Marlene's wish. That because every service with the doxology, I think that's what she had gotten used to back in Onalaska. You know, there are a few other things, I guess I could put it here, but I believe that she worked as a cashier at a grocery store owned by Rudy Freyland, and it was there that one day a handsome Marine basically was checking out, and a very nice looking cashier caught his eye. He came back to ask her out. And of course, that was Richard. And they lived for, I guess, you know, from 55 to almost the early 70s down in Southern California. And then they moved out to Stockton. But during that time, after they moved to Stockton, he continued to work in Southern California and for women's clothing. And he'd fly back every week or two to Stockton. So that was good. Then he finally settled down and got a job at basically the car company in Stockton. And so other things. What was it? I think today's sermon probably wasn't as long as usual. When I mentioned that one time to Marlene, she said, "Actually, I like longer sermons." She doesn't like shorter sermons. She wanted something to. She wanted to feed on God's word. So, we immediately after the civil announcements, immediately after the